1 John and chapter number 2. I'll just read one verse of Scripture. We've been reading down through these enough. And I'll read one verse of Scripture and bring the message tonight. Verse number 26 of chapter 2 of 1 John. The Bible said, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the privilege we have to be in God's house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the good fellowship, the good spirit of your people. I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, their dedication in honoring the house of God and being faithful to it and faithful to you. I pray that you'd bless us tonight together, that you'd open up our eyes of understanding and help us, Lord, to glean great truths from this passage of Scripture. May we behold wondrous things out of thy laws, the psalmist said. I pray, Lord, that you'd save sinners tonight, and God, that you'd bless and help the people of God, strengthen their faith, help them in these last days to stand strong against the wiles of the devil. I pray tonight, Lord, for myself, that you'd give me the power, give me the grace, the unction, the liberty, Lord, that I need in order to preach the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse again, verse number 26, where Brother John said, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Now, I want to preach tonight, and I won't be long, I promise you, that I will not be long tonight. Try to keep up with me. I've got some scattered thoughts, but try to stay with me if you can. And maybe we'll get some help. But I want to preach for a little while, if the Lord had helped me, on the thought, the elements of seduction. The elements of seduction. Those things that would come into our life that would be used to seduce us and lead us into error and lead us away from the truth of the Word of God. John said, "And these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." That's pretty plain. That is not hard to understand, that the things preceding this verse were written for that very fact, that he's writing concerning those that would seduce us, to enlighten us, to open up our understanding, to give us a greater insight and a better understanding of those that would lead us, or those things, not just people, but things likewise, that would lead us into gross error and to lead us away from the truth. Now, there may be some of you sitting here tonight and you feel that there would be no need whatsoever, Brother Hall, to be expounding upon this present verse of Scripture concerning those that seduce you. You might have the idea that it is not possible in your life, that you're far advanced in the Word of God, and that it would be impossible for you to be seduced by an evil spirit and to be led astray. And I want to say, if that is so, I'm afraid that you are very, very sadly mistaken indeed, and very ignorant in your own heart to think such a thing as that. Anyone who imagines himself to be so well taught and established in the truth as to be immune from being imposed upon by error is in a dangerous state of mind. I want to run that by you one more time. Anybody, including men of God, who think that they are so spiritual that they've grown to a place in their Christian life that they're beyond the ability to be led away into error or to be seduced by these seducers and led away away from the truth, they're very ignorant in their mind to believe that. I don't know any of us yet that have arrived. I don't know anybody of us yet that is sinlessly perfect. And I don't know any of us yet that knoweth all things. And until we come into a perfect knowledge of the faith, there's going to always be a possibility in the right moment, at the right time, that the devil or one of his emissaries or one of the tools that He uses that we can be led away into error. And if you don't believe that, you're in a very dangerous place in your Christian life tonight. I'll say that. For he is possessed, a man that believes that, is possessed with a spirit of pride and self-sufficiency, and therefore very liable to fall victim to the wiles of the devil. If a man believed it, you hear what I said? A man that believes that is a man that is swollen up with pride and feels that he is fully confident within his own self, that he has the ability and the power to always walk in truth and to never be led astray. I'm telling you, when a man thinketh he standeth, he better take heed lest he fall. And when we get that way, we are more prone to fall than someone that is on guard. The reason being, we let down our guard. Amen. So many times, God's people get in a place of ease and complacency, and we seem to let down our guard. I'm going to tell you what happens to a boxer when he lets down his guard. He gets TKO'd right quick. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens to a Christian when we let down our spiritual guard. We're just opening ourselves up for an attack from these seducers that will lead us astray from the truth of the Word of God. I was talking to my pastor the other night, Brother Nolan, and we was talking about the situation of the spiritual matter, spiritual condition that our churches are in. And we said something about apostates and how they were. Of course, Brother Nolan always wants to talk about apostates. Amen. But how that the apostates are so running so rampant in our country today. And I said, well, I said, Brother Nolan, I said, look at Billy Graham. And look where Billy Graham is at today. And yet there are hordes of people that still follow his teaching. And Brother Nolan said, I agree with you. He has apostatized from what he once believed. But he said, there's no doubt about it, when that man started out, he started out right. Now, something happened to him. I'm going to tell you what I think it was. I think notoriety got a hold of him, and he began to be lifted up with pride, and that pride caused him to let down his guard. And he started compromising by running with those in the ecumenical movement, led him away from the Baptist position of the Bible, and unfortunately, he is absolutely a spiritual wreck and a mess in today's society. I've got my doubts to the man being saved. He doubts the fires of hell being real. He's got other things I'm not going to take time to go on, that he doubts about the Word of God. And I'm telling you, a man that doubts that this Bible is the Word of God's got real problem. And a man that does not believe in a literal hell has got real problem. A man that does not believe that there are pain and torments in hell has got real problem. And I'm simply saying that he's not on his own. There are others likewise that through popularity. And I'm talking about independent Baptists that through popularity, they have been led away from a position they once stood for. And that, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one answer to that. They were swollen up in pride. They felt like they were self-sufficient and became self-confident. Now, I'm telling you, when you get self-confident, you get cocky and arrogant. And when you get cocky and arrogant, you are headed for trouble with God. And you're opening yourself up for spiritual dilemmas and calamities that you cannot handle. You don't know how to handle them. I'm telling you, I don't know anybody in here that has ever had the devil literally turn loose on them. I don't know but one man in the Bible that did. And if you read through the book of Job, he did not fare so well. The longer that trial went on, the weaker Job seemed to get. But thank God, by the grace of God, he made it. And I'll tell you why he made it, because he was saved by the grace of God, and he always continued to give God the glory, and you and I, we can make it, and we can live above this air if we'll stay with God, lay with God, pray with God, read our Bible, stay in the house of God, stay right with one another, confess all known sin, amen to God. God can help us and will help us to stay right if we'll do that. Amen. Now, what about these elements of seduction? The word seduction, a seducer, is one who by means of blandishments and sophistries seeks to allure men from the path of right or the path of rectitude. And he can do that. A seducer can do that. They want to lead you away from what is right. They want to allure you and get you away from the Word of God and away from righteousness. And I'm telling you, they're on the scene today. Now there are many antichrists already in the world. John said, by this we know that we're living in the last time, because there are many antichrists already in the world. And an antichrist is a seducer. He is a seducer. He'll twist and mangle the scriptures and twist things around and make something bad sound good. It's like I said in here the other morning. I can take the Bible if I want to and prove to you that it was right. Once a sinner repented of his sins, he ought to go out and hang himself. That's right. The Bible said about Jude, the Bible said when Jude realized that he had blood on his hands, he went to those high priests and said, I've betrayed the innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he threw down the 30 pieces of silver. That is not, hey, he didn't only repent in mouth. He repented indeed, ladies and gentlemen. He repented, but once he repented, he went out and hanged himself. Somebody said, well, why did he do that? Because he did not repent unto salvation. He only repented that he had betrayed the innocent blood. He never did put his faith in the Lord Jesus and come to Christ and be saved. And I'm telling you that people can twist this Bible and twist the Scripture. That's why it ought to be preached line upon line, precept upon precept, right down the line, if we can, verse by verse. And I tell you, it's hard to go astray preaching that Bible verse by verse and line upon line. It is hard to go astray doing that. I'm going to tell you, when you start pulling little old verses out of context and preaching from them, it's when you're going to get folks in trouble. And when you start pulling them out of context and believing something out of context, that's when you're going to get hurt. I've heard Harold Sattler say so many times, Scripture ought never be interpreted except in the context that it is written in. And there's only one way to interpret the Bible, and that is to compare Scripture with Scripture, and it'll bear out true. Amen now. Come on now. Now there's some elements I want to preach to you. I'm not dry, I'm too spitty. There's some elements, and they're very simple. They're things and persons. I've only got four of them. There's some elements of seduction. I say one of them is Satan himself. He is the arch seducer. He's the arch enemy of Christ. Now I'm telling you, he is a master at deception. He is a master at getting into people's hearts with error and leading them away into error when they're living in truth. Somebody said, now, and I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute, that you can be living in truth and the devil can lead you into error. He's already done it. It's in the Bible. I'll show it to you in just a minute. Now notice what the Bible says about Satan. It says in Ezekiel 28:15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that iniquity that was found was pride. He said, I will exalt myself above the Most High. I will be like God. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm telling you that has been the problem down through the ages, even with fallen humanity. Men have wanted to be their own God. They want to control their own life, run their own life, be their own God. And by the way, that is called humanism, and it will not float in this Bible. There is no such thing in it. There is one God, ladies and gentlemen, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, no human being can be, ever will be, ever has been God. No angel, fallen, or those that remain in their present estate has ever been like God. It's an impossibility. An impossibility. Now, I say that he seduced folks right out of truth into error. He allured our first parents from following right. There's Adam and Eve in the garden in a perfect environment. A perfect state of life. God told them, you can have anything in this garden that you want. But that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, stay away from it. For in the moment you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. God warned them about that. And here comes along the old devil. And he told her, said, ye shall not surely die. He said, for God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be like gods. Ye shall be like gods, knowing good and evil. Now I'm here to tell you, we're right out of Adam and Eve's loins, ladies and gentlemen. And they fell for that bait. They were led out of perfect truth into error when they disobeyed God, took of that forbidden tree and ate that fruit, and their eyes were opened and they fell for that bait, believing that they'd be like gods. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know anybody in here today, them or us either, that are like gods. And we're just like them because we're out of their loins. Oh yes, by one man, not by the devil, but by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I'm telling you, we're right out of their loins, and we're no different than they are. And we'd like to be our own little God today as well. We want to run our lives, control our lives. We don't want to yield to the Lord. We don't want to let God control us. We don't want to let the Holy Ghost run our life. We want to run our life. Now I'm telling you, as long as I run my life, I run my life. And anybody that tries to run their life, they'll run it likewise. You say amen. May not be today, but somewhere down the line, payday will come along. You can mark her down. The chickens will come home to roost. I seen a turkey fly across the road yesterday, and I thought, you egg sucker. If I had that Winchester 1300, I'd get you, boy. Amen. I might have went to jail, too. It might have been a bait. I don't know. Amen. He could have been. No, I wouldn't have shot it. Amen. Now, they thought they'd be like God, that their minds were open. And here's what he said: you know, you'll be like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. And they did, because they went and sowed fig leaves and tried to cover themselves. So they knew the difference between good and evil. And I've got news for you: in your lost condition, you know good from evil. Then when I was lost, I mean, I didn't have any problem knowing that it was wrong for me to carouse and drink liquor and dance on the dance floor and drink booze and play cards and gamble. I didn't have any problem knowing that was wrong. I knew it was, but I wasn't saved. But I knew the good from evil. And I was doing my thing. That's what the devil told Adam and Eve. You eat of that tree of good, knowledge of good and evil, and you can do your own thing. You'll no longer be under the thumbnail of God. You will be as God. You can do your own thing. And I'm telling you, Elvis done his own thing, had it his way, and he's fried in hell tonight because of it. Amen. That is right. That is exactly right. Now, to be as God, this is the same thing. This is the same thing now. Get a hold of this. The same thing that destroyed Adam and Eve, how Satan destroyed Adam and Eve is the same thing that destroyed Satan. He's following his own life, his own plot, right down through life. I'm going to prove it to you. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter number 28 and verse 6, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God." Talking about the devil. Talking about the king of Tyrus. But he said, "As thou hast set thy heart as the heart of God." Now every Bible scholar I know believes that's talking about Satan himself. The devil. Oh, Slewfoot. Amen. "You have set your heart to be like the heart of God." That's what he said. "I'll be like God. I'll ascend up high. I'll be like the Most High." He wanted to be like God. Come on in the house now. And that verse goes on to say, "Behold, therefore will I bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea." In other words, he said, you're going to be brought down to the pit. Satan will someday be brought down to the pit because he tried to be like God. He wanted to have the heart of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God. He wanted to be God. Now I'm telling you, when God cast him out, he wound up on the earth. The first thing he done was run right to Adam and Eve and told them the same thing. And Eve swallowed the bait just like he did. Are you listening to me? And he's not changed a bit. He is still telling sinners that today. He's still telling sinners that today. To be as God, to be the same thing, it was the same thing that destroyed the devil. It says in Ezekiel 28:17, "Thy heart was lifted up because thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. By reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee." He said, you've corrupted your heart. What? Your desires has corrupted your heart. Now I'm telling you, there is a right desire for you and I to have. And that desire is to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. Amen. And to please Him in everything that we do. But I'll tell you, when our desires, our inward desires, when we lay our desires upon us rather than laying them upon God, we're in trouble. And that's right. And he thought he would be wise. That's exactly what Eve thought when she saw that tree was good to make one wise. And when she took it, she corrupted herself. Now I'm telling you, it'll still corrupt people today. That attitude will corrupt people today. I'm telling you, the devil is a seducer. He is one that will lead you astray in the air. And he does not care whose life he ruins, yours, mine, or anybody else's. He just wants to destroy the lives of people.
Amen.
And you know why? I believe he's trying to get even. What God done to him, God cast me out of heaven. God wouldn't let me be like him. So I'll just destroy as many as I can in what time I've got to destroy them. And I'm telling you, he's got multitudes following him today, folks. You better believe I'm telling it right. He's got multitudes upon multitudes following him in his pernicious ways today. He is a seducer. There's no doubt about that. His efforts today is to seduce those who are doing right and lead them away into error or destruction. You remember chapter 5 of the book of Acts? In chapter 4, when Barnabas sold a parcel of land and brought it and laid it at the disciples' feet, here come along a man and his wife by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. They too had a piece of land. They sold it. They come and they laid part of the money at the disciples' feet. And here's what Peter said to Ananias. If I can find it here again. He said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Amen. Here is a man and his wife that is doing good. The land they owned was theirs. They didn't have to give it away. God did not demand them of that. But somebody come and whispered in their ear and said, "You need to be like everybody else in the crowd. You need to be just exactly like them. You've got some land, go sell it. But you know you don't really have to give all that money up. You can keep back part of the price of that land and nobody will know anything about it." Problem. Nothing misses the mind of God. God knew about it. And God had a man that he could talk to and tell him about it. And I'm telling you, old Peter was right on target. "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" And they out and out of their life. And the Bible said, they didn't call he fell down dead. They didn't call the sheriff. They didn't call the city police. They didn't call an undertaker. They just carried him out and buried him. And about 3 hours later, his wife came in, told the same lie, and she fell down dead too, and they wound her up and carried her out and buried her.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there is a man and his wife living in perfect truth, living in harmony in the church. And Satan fills their heart to lie to God.
Amen.
And that little lie cost them greatly. Cost them greatly. You know what he done to them? He seduced them.
Amen.
He got them to do something that was wrong, that they knew was wrong. Now I'm going to tell you, we know right from wrong, don't we? It's just like, I don't want to get too explicit, but just like in modern day, some of these Romeos and Casanovas, you know, today, they'll seduce young ladies. They've got a way with their tongue that they can flatter with their lips and cause a young lady to fall for them. Now, I'm here to tell you, ladies, naked, they will seduce that young lady and she will do that which she knows is not right to do. That's exactly what people are doing all over the world.
Amen.
People all over America are doing that which they know is wrong to do. And the reason we're doing it is because there are seducers in the world today. Many of them. And he said, "I have written these things." And get what he said. "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." He didn't say them that might seduce you someday down the road. He said, "I've written these things unto you concerning them that seduce you."
Amen.
It was taking place in John's day, and John knew it. That his people were being deceived by the devil, led into error, led away from the truth. No wonder in 2 John and 3 John both, he said, "I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth." He knew as long as they were walking in truth that they had overcome the devil, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And they remained in that truth. And church, I'll tell you, I love you with all my heart. I've been with some of you for 20 years. Now I'm telling you, it blesses my soul to see you in the house of God on a regular basis. It blesses my soul when you shake my hand and say, "Thank you, Brother Hall." It blesses my soul to see you faithful in the house of God. Amen. It blesses my soul to know that you're still walking in truth when some have left and you could have left with them, but you chose to stay in the house of God and hear the truth of the Bible. That's a blessing. That's about the only thing that's kept me going these days. I've come now on fainting. And I'll be honest. Encouragement from my wife and your faithfulness is about the only two things that's really kept me going. Your fellowship and your faithfulness. To know that there's still a few that the devil hadn't got a hold of.
Amen.
They've been some that's been seduced. They've been led into believing that it'd be better out from and under the thumbnail of the pastor, when they never was under the thumbnail of the pastor.
Amen.
They was under the authority of the Word of God. And that's what they kicked out from and under, the authority of the Word of God. Stay right with me, and I'm gonna prove it to you. Now, the second thing, not only Satan himself, but sinful pride. And I've already mentioned pride. Proverbs 16:18 said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." I've never seen this verse I'm getting ready to read to you in this light, because I always put the emphasis, and so does every other preacher, on the word novice. For preachers. It's in the qualifications for preachers. And here's what Brother Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:6. He said, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with what? Pride." What does that do to you? You fall into the condemnation of the devil. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, that pride is what condemned him. That pride brought him down to nothing. That pride brought him down to a nobody. When someday the people of God will walk by and say, "Is that the one? Is he the one that had such great power? Is he the one that deceived the nations? But God has brought him down." I'm telling you, God has brought him down to a place of condemnation. And someday that condemnation will catch up with him. When God throws him into a lake of fire, that condemnation will catch up with him. Now I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if we be lifted up in pride, that condemnation that got the devil will get us also.
Amen.
Sinful pride. Pride was a condemnation of the devil. May I say that pride or self-confidence, it was that brought about Peter's fall. Exactly right. The Lord said in Matthew 26:33, He said, "This night shall all men be offended and shall flee from me," in chapter 26. But it says in verse 33, old Peter opened his big mouth. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And the Lord said, Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, this night," this night, Peter, just in a short while, you're so proud, Peter, you're so arrogant, Peter, here in just a short while, here in just a little while, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. And I'm sure Peter said, "How can that be? I love you with all of my heart." I'm going to tell you how that self-confidence, that pride, that self-confidence that I can do it on my own, Peter found out he could not do it on his own, friend. Now I'm telling you, as sure as the Lord's words were said, they were come to pass. And old Peter denied the Lord three times and looked one look at Jesus and looked into those lovely eyes of the grace of God and went out and wept bitterly. I'm going to tell you, that is the sign of a true repentant. That is a sign of a true penitent sinner. He didn't wait 6 months to repent. He went out immediately and repented. Now I'm telling you, if we're fully right with God, and I'm not saying that some people may not put it off a while because they may not be thoroughly right with God, but if we're thoroughly, really right with God, buddy, I'll tell you, when we sin, God lets us know about it. We will repent immediately about that. Not a month later, right now we'll repent of that thing. Get right with God. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. I really am. Then there's the pride of self-glory. I've already mentioned it, to be like God. That destroyed Adam and Eve and plunged the whole race into destruction. People today are still trying to be their own God. And like I said, this is called humanism. Everybody's got his own God. The fella that used to be in my home church that followed my pastor there said, made this statement preaching one Sunday morning. He said, there will come a time in your life when you will need a God. A God won't help you. There will come a time in your life when you'll need God, not a God, God. For there are no other gods beside me, is what he said. God, men have made, man-made gods, but they are no gods.
Amen.
Amen. That man's in trouble.
Amen.
You just mark that down. Now I want to read something to you. I want you to know what I'm listening, what I'm reading. Satan, who beguiled Eve, pretended to have her best interest at heart and to sympathize because of the restriction placed upon her liberty. The devil come up to her and was so sympathetic and said, I know, oh mean God, he just wants you to walk a straight line. You know, you don't really have to walk that straight line to be you. Why, that tree there that you're looking at, so good to make one wise. It'll make you like God. And then you'll know good from evil. And he convinced her that she was not under liberty, but under law. And I'm telling you, I've heard so many of you preach standards and the way people ought to live. And the first thing they want to say, he's a legalist! I don't live under the law. I live under grace. I don't know about you. I live under both. I had not known sin, except the law said, thou shalt not covet, is what Paul said.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I'm not so far along in God that there's not occasions when the law tells me it's wrong to do something, and I say, uh-oh, I'm wrong, and grace says, but there's forgiveness. The law is still bringing us to a place of grace where we can find forgiveness from the Lord. And by the way, that's the only way we'll grow in grace.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Don't take my liberty from me. Don't put me under the law. I live under grace. And what they're saying is, I live so much under grace, I can do anything I want to do and get by with it. Because I'm under grace. I've got liberty under grace. That's what the devil told her. You got liberty. Why are you so restricted? Why are you so controlled? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Can I say this tonight in all honesty? I drank all the beer every day I want to drink. Don't know about you. I drank every drop of beer every day I want to drink. There's only one thing about it. I don't want to drink no beer. I chaw all the tobacco I want to chaw. I just don't want to chaw now.
Amen.
I cuss all I want to cuss, only I just don't want to cuss. Sometimes I slip up and said a few things up here on what I said a couple of times. But I ain't perfect yet.
Amen.
But are you listening to what I'm saying? I sin every day all I want to sin. But I don't want to sin. And it's grace that has made me that way. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching them that in denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, the wisdom to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So it teaches us not to sin. It doesn't give us liberty to sin. It teaches us not sin. Then I'll say the third thing. I'm getting close to being done. What time is it? Just a few minutes after 8. We ain't been here but about an hour. I want to say the third thing is sensual lust. Sensual lust is a good seducer. Listen to what the Bible said in Proverbs 12:26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. The way of the wicked seduces them. The righteous are more excellent than others in their character, their spiritual possessions, and their privileges. But the workers of iniquity is deceived by the way of the world, which tempts him and cheats him by his promises of temporal gain, honor, pleasures, and blinds his mind to eternal ending. That's what the wicked of this world. They'll do their best to seduce you. And here's what happens. They grow wicked because they lust after temporal things.
Amen.
They lust after worldly pleasures. They lust after things that have no meaning at all in life. They're looking at the wrong things. They're wanting the wrong things. They're desiring the wrong things. They're lusting after the wrong things. I was just kidding. I believe it was Josh. I was just kidding. He said, "Boy, I seen a truck up there," and said, "I told somebody, I said, I'd really like to have that truck." I said, "Son, that's covetousness." He looked at me kind of funny. I said, "You said you'd like to have that man's truck. You're coveting that man's property. You're lusting over what somebody else has got." I said, "What you should have said was, I sure would like to have a truck like his."
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Isaiah 44:20 says, "He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul." Now, I'm telling you, that man that falls after lust, his heart will be deceived, and he'll be turned aside that he cannot be delivered. May I say to you tonight that you can go far enough that there is no return. There is a point of no return. Now, I believe there is a point of no return for a Christian. You can get far enough out in the boondocks away from God that God can fall the hammer down on you, buddy. You better believe there is. You'll find out when you get to heaven, I'm telling you right. Ask Naomi's husband, Boaz, when you get to heaven, what happened to them? They stepped over. Ask Eli what happened to him. He stepped over. Now, Eli's boys was lost, but I believe Eli was a saved man. He didn't do anything about his boys. God let it go on and let it go on and let it go on till God said, "There will not be one from your family that will be in the priesthood. I'll cut you off totally."
Amen.
And God did. There's more men. I can't bring them to mind right now. I mean, like Jeroboam that made Israel to sin, God said, "I'll cut you off. I'll cut off your whole family. I'll not leave one in your family. Not one will I leave to sit on your throne." And I'm going to tell you, if you think that your sins won't reach the third and the fourth generation, you better read your Bible and stop and think.
Amen.
What I just said to you. God told Jeroboam, "I'll cut you totally off," and he did.
Amen.
So your sins today, your children may pay for them. When they wouldn't cross at Kadesh Barnea, and I won't say this, don't tell the young man I said this, because I said the same thing one time, and a preacher got up in the pulpit and corrected me, and that's the reason I never corrected him. But when Brother Qualls was preaching the other night, he said when they come to Kadesh Barnea, they never went over. They could have went over the Jordan River then, and they didn't. There's only one thing wrong with that. There ain't no Jordan River at Kadesh Barnea. They could have went into the Promised Land. There ain't no Jordan River runs through there. Now, I preached that at Brother Nolan's one time, and there's a preacher got up behind me and said, "I don't mean to correct the young preacher, but said, son, said there ain't no Jordan River at Kadesh Barnea." I felt about that tone. I wasn't going to say a thing to that man. But I'll tell you, geographically speaking, he was wrong. But the fact of the matter is, they wouldn't go in. They would not go in. And I'm going to tell you who suffered 40 years out in that wilderness. Their children.
Amen.
But it was also their children that inherited the blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on in the house. I want to say fourthly, and I'm closing on this one. False prophets. And I And I've come to realize this. And I want you to listen carefully. That a false witness and a false prophet is the same thing. A prophet is one that is testifying to you of the truth. A witness is one that is testifying to you of the truth. So they're both one and the same. They may not be the same person, same office, the same situation, but the outcome of both are same. False witness, false prophet. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, these seek to corrupt our minds and to turn us away from the truth. Ezekiel 13:9-10, the Bible says, mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, another daubed it with untempered mortar. They daubed it with material that wouldn't bind. And I'm telling you, that's what a lot of preachers are doing today. They sound good, but they're giving you temper that will. They're giving you mortar that is untempered. It won't hold the blocks together, folks. Because it's not true. What will hold the blocks together is real mortar.
Amen.
Amen. Real mud. Praise God. I'm talking about real mud. Hold them blocks together to build with. And we can't build if we're building with untempered mortar, because a wind come along or a fox go across it, it'll fall down because it stands in air rather than in truth.
Amen.
It's because they've been seduced by false witnesses. Now I'm going to tell you what these witnesses were doing. These false prophets had convinced the people that peace and prosperity was upon them during that particular time. When really divine judgment was being pronounced upon them. In Ezekiel's day, God had judged Israel and Judah and sent them into captivity. And yet the prophets, can I give you a real example of the false prophets seducing people? Have you ever read the story about Jehoshaphat and Ahab? Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Ahab was king of Israel. Jehoshaphat went up to Ahab. And Ahab said, will you go up to Ramoth Gilead with me? He said, I'm just like you. I'll go up. And Jehoshaphat said, is there a prophet around here anywhere that can prophesy? He said, bring on the prophets. And I think they brought out 400 prophets and all. They just prophesied. And every one of them said, go up and prosper. Go up and prosper. Go up and prosper. And Jehoshaphat wasn't so dumb to believe all that. And he said, is there not yet another prophet here that might say? He said, and Ahab said, well, there's one here named Micah, but said he always never prophesies any good, and said, I hate him. And he said, send and get him. Oh, Micah, come up. And I'm going to tell you, and here's case in point of a man that knew right and done wrong. Because Micah come up, and they said, prophesy to us, Micah, can we go up to Ramoth Gilead? And Micah said, go up and prosper. Go on up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. And here's what Ahab said. How many times do I have to adjure you to tell me the truth? When Ahab said that, what he was saying to Micah was, I know you're challenging him with them, because you're telling a lie. You're not telling me the truth now. You're telling me the same thing they are. Yeah, you know better. Micah said, I'm going to tell you what I've seen. I've seen all Israel scattered across the hills, having no shepherd. And one of the prophets went up and smacked him in the mouth. Said, tell me which way that prophet went. Micah, and he said, I'll tell you the day when you go into the inner chamber. He died later in an inner chamber, by the way. Are you listening to me? And Ahab, Micah said, I see all Israel scattered as having no shepherd. And the other prophet said, go up and you'll come again in peace. And Micah said, if you come in peace, I'm not a prophet. And O Ahab went up and even disguised himself, wouldn't even wear his kingly apparel. And yet a man at a chance shot a bow and hit him between the shoulder blades. And he stood up in that chariot till nightfall and died in that chariot. And when they washed the chariot out, the dogs licked his blood at the pool of Jezreel right before Jezebel died. Are you listening to me? And how, you know how that came about? God was sitting in heaven and said, how are we going to convince Ahab to go up there? And one of the spirits come up and said, I know how. I've got the answer, Lord. The Lord said, how are you going to do it? He said, I'll go down and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And I'll convince Ahab to go up. He said, go ahead. And he went up. And he went up, knowing he was wrong when he went up, and knowing what was going to happen when he went up. But he was so humanistically inclined in his own mind that he could not refrain. He listened to 400 false prophets, and he died. The death of a fool, he died. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I'm closing. But there was a man in our artillery unit in Vietnam. His name was Tackett. He got carried away one day and shot a rifle into, got wrestling with a boy and another, he was black and got wrestling with another black boy. So another black boy took up for the weaker fella, and Pickett started charging him, and he shot, this one boy shot his M16 in the ground. Well, old Pickett went over, grabbed his M16, just started spraying it all over this firing loose magazine after magazine until they could get to him and cool him and calm him down. A few days later, they loaded him on a little airplane and sent him to Ankay to stand court-martial. And it was on a foggy day. And that airplane flew into the side of Hong Kong Mountain. And I don't know this to be the truth, but they said that when they found Pickett, he was sitting on his seat with his M16 between his knees, and the muzzle of that M16 went through his throat. And I said, Pickett, you died like a fool. You died like a fool. You died doing what was wrong. And knowing it was wrong all the time and done it anyway.
Amen.
And you died. I want to read these two verses of Scripture to you. And I'm closing. Proverbs 19, verses 5 and 9. Listen to what they say. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Now notice what verse 9 says. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall. Now up into there, they're both the same verse. But it says, perish. So false prophets are going to perish. And by the way, I'll close with this. John said twice in that context of that, he's writing to little children. He's writing primarily to those that are new in the faith, haven't been saved long. They're new in the faith. They're the easiest ones to be drugged into the mud by seducers. John said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Let's stand together.